for your glory. We're taking territory, fighting unseen enemies like never before. We're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet.
Celebrate
your angels raining now here on the battleground.
For your glory,
for your glory.
We're taking
territory, fighting unseen enemies
like never before.
As we are every Monday at 5 p.m., bringing you the latest on the issues of people in the community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips. I'm the senior pastor of the Sure House Baptist Church, located at 11318 Miles Avenue, right here in Cleveland, Ohio. And we have worship service every Sunday morning at 9 a.m., and we invite you to come. And we also are on Facebook Live. Every Sunday morning at 9, you can catch us on our Facebook Live page. Just look at Sure House Baptist Church Cleveland, and you can find us, and we'll be there. And you can also catch us on our Sure House Baptist Church .org, our website. So you can check us out, and we're doing great things in the community. I am also so privileged to serve as the Executive Director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. And that is an amalgamation of all of the African-American clergy organizations here in the greater Cleveland area, and where we're doing marvelous things. We had a great thing this past weekend that we're going to share with you in just a moment. And we are joined today, as we are most Mondays, by Dr. Gwendolyn Jarvis, my co-host, my very avid and very capable co-host. Dr. Jarvis, are you right there?
Yes, I am. Here, Johnny, yes, on the spot. Yes.
As you always are, and we appreciate you, Dr. Jarvis. I missed you in person service yesterday. I thought your you and your family was going to join us yesterday, Dr. Jarvis.
Well, that was the plan, but they got here like about 10:30. It was just too late. So, yes.
10:30 a.m.? Oh, yeah. Now, when are they going back home?
Thursday. They're going back Thursday.
Oh, well, I'm going to be able to. Well, I may be able to see them before they go. Hopefully.
I hope
but,
so.
Yeah. So, but it's great to have you. How are you feeling today?
I am doing fine, and I am being obedient. Oh, my goodness. I am being obedient. I do so much Zoom on Saturday because I do train the Adams Board and Parliamentary Procedures. It's the annual thing that I do. It was 3 hours. And so it was, so I had some Zoom stuff until 4 o'clock on Saturday. So I had to just like Zoom out of social media yesterday. But it's okay. I can feel
I'm so glad that you're doing fine. I'm so glad that you're doing just fine. And we certainly missed you yesterday. But I got your photo of you being vaccinated. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes.
I wish we had some background. So, yay. Good thing. Vaccination. Yesterday, vaccination. Today, vaccination forever. All right. We want to make sure that we are vaccinated. And I will tell you, we had a fantastic march on Saturday. We marched out at 105 in Superior. And we marched in the streets, yelling in the streets, get the shot. I got the shot, if you want. And I wish I could have had Ivory Jones. He's so pastor. Let me get that right. Pastor, Reverend Dr. Ivory Jones, pastor of the Great Grace Baptist Church and the state president for the Ohio State Baptist Convention. When the state president, he joined us. And, boy, he gave us some great alliteration. He said, if you want to graduate, you need to vaccinate. If you want to participate, you need to vaccinate. If you want inspiration, you need vaccination. It was just fantastic. We had a great time. And I just thank God for him and all those who came out and the coordinator of our event, the one and only Reverend Dr. C. Vincent Berry, the senior pastor of Christian Fellowship Baptist Church and our coordinator for the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. I just thank him for all of his great efforts. We could not have pulled that particular event off without him. He's doing a fantastic job with us, with the coalition, and I thank God for him and his ministry and him joining forces to help put things together to make what we're doing work. And we had a great crowd out there. We had some candidates out there. We had candidates for mayor, Mr. Justin Bibb, as well as candidate for mayor Zach Reed was there. Representative from Chantel Brown was there. We had other folks who were running for city council, Jeff Mixon and Mike Seals were there. We just had a great group of folks, Pastor Norris, the Cleveland Clergy Alliance. He was there. And I think our name is the young lady who works with him to get transportation. We go take care of transportation. She was there. We had just a great group of folks. And, of course, we have the Reverend Dr. E.T. Cavanaugh. We were at his place, at his church, and who was always hosting community events. And he was there, and we thank God for him. He was out there in the streets with us. We believe in vaccination. There was a demonstration for vaccination. Jay, the gospel kid, came by. So we really had a great group of people, Dr. Jarvis, out there in the streets. You can catch us on Facebook Live, actually, on the Sure House Baptist Church page. I know you can. Check out on Christian Fellowship Facebook page. Maybe, hopefully, even the Cleveland Clergy Coalition Facebook page. We were on there. But we had a great time on Saturday. And because it was we thought we might have rain, we didn't have the hot dogs and stuff out there because we didn't know how long we'd be out there. But folks still came out, and we had support. We even had the Channel 19 and Channel 5 gave us news coverage. So we need to heighten the awareness in our community about how important it is to get vaccinated. So we're going to be singing that song on our radio broadcast absolutely every week. And we're going to make it a time, hey, let's get that shot. We still have people dying from COVID, even to this day right here. We have people dying on COVID, so we want to make sure that we vaccinate, Dr. Jarvis. Dr. Jarvis, good to see you with your picture. I got to see your arm, your bare arm. They put that needle right there. How did you? Which one did you get? The Pfizer or Moderna?
I got the Moderna, and not only that, they let me. Yes, you see pose with my shirt on, and
you're right. Well, of course your shirt was on. Where else would your shirt be, Dr. Jarvis? What do you mean? What do you mean your shirt was on? It better be on. Yeah.
And I wanted to do the Cleveland Clergy Coalition shirts, but they didn't but didn't have enough time.
Oh.
However, where I went to in my community, people who was there to get their vaccine, they applaud them, and I thought that was outstanding. The few people that were there,
right.
The staff come up, so we are getting applause. People are getting applause all over the place for taking the vaccine. And medicine is awesome. It's interesting. Technology is interesting. And I am very thankful
right.
for the opportunity.
Yeah, well, listen, we thank you. I'm glad that you got the shot. Most importantly, keep you
yes.
safe from hurt, harm, and danger. We got to have you, Dr. Jarvis. I want you going nowhere. So we need you to be vaccinated. So, Glenda, when do you get your second shot?
They told me in 4 weeks. You get the second
okay,
shot.
They didn't give you a date. They're going to call you or something.
Yes. Yeah, my community, they text. They send you a text. Yes. That's what I had to also do a picture for my community, too. They wanted a picture.
So, good.
Yeah. So next time I will get a picture with a coalition shirt on it.
Please do. And we want to encourage people.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Dr. Jarvis.
No. So they'll know that I'm a part of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. So they'll know.
Absolutely. I want you to definitely have a Cleveland Clergy Coalition t-shirt. Matter of fact, it's about time for me to order some more. I think I'm going to order some in long sleeve, too. I'll tell you, Dr. Jarvis, yeah, we have to make sure that people not only get their first shot, but they got to get that second shot, too. That's important.
Yeah.
Get the shot, then take both of them. You can't just take one. You got to take them both. Take both shots. I got the shot twice. And it is so important because we are noticing that there are many people who are only getting that first shot, and we don't want that. We want you to make sure you are fully vaccinated. So we had a great time this past Saturday in getting out. I got my bullhorn. You know, I'm a bullhorn person. I don't mind getting in the streets and yelling and screaming and letting people know what's happening. And so it was very important to us to make sure that we got the word out of the street. Thank the pastor, Stephen Rowan, too, of Bethany Baptist Church. We utilized his ministry, and thank God for him. And Jonathan Reverend Dr. Leonard King, the president of the state of our Baptist Ministers Conference, joined us, who will also be on this line at 6 o'clock with the fellow from the NFL. We're so relevant. All right, I forgot to tell you, we're going to have Dr. C.J. Matthews is going to come on in just a moment. We're going to discuss the Chauvin verdict with him and talk about some criminal justice reform. We're going to do that, and then we're going to have some announcements, and then we're going to get ready to hear from the Hall of Fame president, the National Football Hall of Fame, Dave Baker. He's going to be on with Dr. Leonard T. King. And as we get ready for the NFL draft here in the city of Cleveland, we're going to be talking about what the NFL draft means and what it has done for Cleveland. I don't think people know this, Dr. Jarvis, but one of our local high schools is going to be built a brand new stadium because of the NFL coming here. NFL, they've also dropped some other resources to help us in our community right here that's going to last from now on, things are going to regarding housing, stock, and things for reformation and change. So this event isn't just about the NFL draft, but how it's impacting our community. So thank God for that. He's going to tell us about those things. And a lot of people don't know, but that's how we stay on the cutting edge, Dr. Jarvis, about bringing what's really relevant. I know that we want to make sure we get some good NFL players. I'm excited about the Browns with them picking up that new defensive person. His name escapes me at this moment, but he is fantastic. And I'm looking forward to the Browns this year. But more importantly, I'm glad to see that what they're doing is making a long-lasting impact on our greater community So whether we go to the Super Bowl or not, we're already super and bringing something to this status to our community. And we're taking maximizing this opportunity by making sure we're providing some things that our community needs. So the local high school receiving a brand new stadium and kids and community other community organization work being done is just perfect. So let's get ready for our next break. Our producer is going to take our first break. And we're going to come back with Dr. C.J. Matthews, the pastor of this Mount Sinai Baptist Church, longtime activist here in our community, and the executive director of the United Baptist Missions. He's going to be joining us to discuss the Chauvin trial. You want to call, give your 216-578-1490. Dr. Jarvis, get us out of here.
As he said, 216-578-1490, the executive director and the host of this show, Pastor Ann Phillips, J.D., the pastor, senior pastor of Sure House Baptist Church. This is WERE 1490 AM on the dial. Alexa, say, I want to listen to Pastor Aaron, and she will call you up. And we're also streamed and syndicated at www.newstalkcleveland.com. We'll be back in a minute.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. These are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and News Talk 1490.
Tea and Honey with Dr. Gwen Jarvis. I was born, raised, and educated locally. Weekly to bring tea leaves of my own experience, talents, and training as bold and boundless as a butterfly to enlighten, inspire, and uplift our community and beyond. With stems on education, health, community, civic, spiritual, and the joys of life. Thursdays, 5 p.m., WERE, 1490 a.m. Join me for tea.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head, oh, yeah. Anoint my feet,
celebrate
your angels reigning now. Here on the battleground, for your glory, for your glory.
All right, we're back. The issues, the people, and the community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips. Glad to be here. And we are so, and Dr. Jarvis is our co-host. And we are joined by our first guest today, Reverend Dr. C.J. Matthews, the senior pastor of the Mount Sinai Baptist Church right here in Cleveland, Ohio, 7500 Woodland. Everyone knows where Mount Sinai is. And he's also the executive director of United Pastors Missions. Dr. Matthews, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. Hello, how you doing?
We're doing just fine. And we're also, Pastor Matthews, we're also joined by our dear friend and brother, Pastor C. Vincent Berry, called in as well. Pastor Berry, are you there? We lost Pastor. Okay, well, he'll come back. We're going to go out and thank God for him. But while we got you, we are so concerned, Dr. Matthews. Thank you again for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to join us this evening. But we're concerned about and wanted to get your comments and thoughts about the murder trial of our dear fallen brother, Brother George Floyd, and the verdict. And let's just talk about that, how you feel about that. You've been doing criminal justice issues before I was even born. I thank God for you. And if somebody can give us some real good history about what this trial means, it's Dr. C.J. Matthews. So what say you, sir?
Thank you, Pastor Phillips and Dr. Jarvis, and to your listening audience. First of all, the George Floyd murder and the trial and the ultimate guilty verdict was significant, and I wouldn't want to minimize it. And it brings a portion of healing to the Floyd family that so many families have not gotten. And that is that at least the perpetrator, by a jury of his peers, was found guilty of the act. So though nothing can bring Mr. Floyd back, that portion of the pain, that portion of the wound can now begin to heal, and then ultimately further be healed by a significant sentence, if not the harshest sentence that can be handed down. Reason being is, unfortunately, we are applauding this case and it's necessary. But the fact that we had to sit on our hands with pins and needles and hold our breath with the hope that this verdict would go the way it did is tragic and unfortunate and speaks to the overall pandemic of police violence in our community.
Yes, absolutely does. I know that we have been getting more and more of these kinds of guilty verdicts against police officers, but I think this one really stands out because of the evidence was overwhelming. And how could they not do anything but have a guilty verdict? But we still had to kind of hold our breath because we've been here before and seen it not go the way that we thought it was what should go, even with a lot of evidence. And we believe, and I want to get your thoughts about this, if not for the video taping of this before the world, do you think that this would have came out this way at all? Would the officer even been charged? Because we know there was already another narrative getting ready to be written in the police report.
No, it was written. It was the narrative until the video came out. No video,
right.
No case, no verdict, no justice. Which is what
right.
makes Bill 22 so egregious. But if we follow history,
right.
we will discover that hateful policymakers always follow up on ways to protect those who they desire to protect. In this case, when we should be talking about building bridges, once again, we're doing things to drive a wedge between, quote-unquote, black and blue. Unfortunately, for some reason in this country, they forget that those police officers are hired to protect and to serve us, too. They are no longer the slave catchers. They are no longer the ones to enforce segregation. They are no longer the ones to stand against black progress. They're here to protect and to serve. And unfortunately, too many people accept the terrorist activities that are perpetrated by some officers in our community.
Absolutely. Well said. Dr. Matthews, what is your thoughts with right actually while that verdict was being announced in Minnesota? That and I should say two things. During the trial, right, in Minnesota, I think 10 miles up in Bechtinville or whatever the name of that city is, where a police woman officer, Caucasian, mistook her gun for a taser and killed a young man, Mr. Wright, I think was his last name. But then right after that, we had during the verdict being announced in our own state in Columbus, a young Miss Bryant was actually shot four times by a white police officer who'd been on the force since 2019, put four bullets in her. In protecting her against stabbing another teenager. even though Ms. Bryant was the one who called the police officer in the first place. Give us your thoughts about that and why, and so people can understand, because we do have some listeners, Dr. Matthews, who are not African-American. So to help them give them perspective why we can't be so excited over one guilty verdict when this systemic problem continues to take place.
Well, again, it's unfortunately that I would have to give a litany of names of people who have been killed by officers who were not even in, there was no crime, quote unquote, involved. Breonna Taylor, Tamir Rice, there was no crime involved. These were officer mistakes that so far have not been fully adjudicated. So the Tamir Rice one has. Officer Lomond is free. Matter of fact, appeals court rejected his appeal today to get his job back. And now it's going to the Ohio Supreme Court. Unfortunately for the Rice family, he gets buried. Lomond gets to go play basketball and pursue his life. I'll give you an example to my non-African American brothers and sisters out there. When crack was being distributed in cooperation with government and law enforcement, that's documented in our community, we were demonized, vilified, and then locked up with unfair sentences, as well as no one thought about treatment. All right? Opiates come in our community, and what happens? Immediately, I had police officers standing in my sanctuary prior to COVID having an opioid meeting. We are no longer going to criminalize drug abuse. We're going to get them help. The change in narrative was so dramatic, it angered me, even though it was necessary, all right, because opiates affect our community also. Because there is a perception that policing in the African-American community is equated with necessary action, okay, and that is acceptable to everybody, and I know it's unnecessary. Why? You cannot mistake a taser for a gun unless you're afraid or something else is going on in your life, okay? And that young man, Mr. Wright, did not deserve to die because she made a mistake and or because she was having a bad day and or because she was afraid, all right?
Right.
So when we start talking about policing in our community, whatever happens is acceptable in the majority community. Why? Because we have this discussion going on. If you're like the comments I'm making now, people won't understand because of how close I work with law enforcement. All right? Okay.
Right.
Well, I work with them because I want them to be safe also, but I want to build bridges with our community. But the necessary critique of the terroristic violence by some in our community is real. All right? And so when I say things like terroristic, people will be upset with me. I have two sons and five grandsons.
Wow.
My biggest fear all of their lives has not been anything but if they get pulled over and it's a bad day for somebody. I know we have violence in the community and things like that, but so far they haven't put themselves in those positions. I don't fear that, but I do fear them being pulled over and it being a bad day. And I shouldn't have to feel that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dr. Jarvis, you have a question for Reverend Dr. Pastor Matthews?
Well, Dr. Matthews, I'd like to applaud you and all of the pastors because this is pastoring. It's going beyond the Bible, but taking care of the community. And this is what we need. For an example, when we have people call in and say, what are the pastors doing? Endless things. As you say, you spend time with the law enforcement. Well, we need law enforcement. We need to be informed of that in church. And that's my comment. I like to personally thank you and all the pastors and the Cleveland Clergy Coalition who have reached outside of the box, even though it's in the Bible, to address the issues that is near and near to our community.
Until we get to
Pastor Matthews, go ahead. Yeah, please respond, Pastor. No, I want you to respond, Pastor Matthews.
No, thank you, Dr. Jarvis. But until we get to the point where we are a community, and we begin to determine how we want policing in our community, not union contracts, not elected officials, because they're a minute part of our population who should not be dictating how things occur in our community. We've got three pandemics, okay? The first pandemic is the COVID-19, and we have a vaccine, and we have challenges along the way, but we have a vaccine. The next pandemic is racism, all right? The only vaccine I know is love, and it should come from the body of Christ, but I don't. Never mind. The third pandemic.
No, that's right.
The third pandemic is violence, whether it's violence from the police in our community, beefs and violence in our shootings, but violence is a challenge. Undressed for so long that the mental capacity to process it is so regular and normal that we may not even believe we can do anything about it. Therein, Dr. Jarvis, is the difference between pastors of hope and pastors of acceptance. Pastors of hope will never give in to the spirit of hate or violence or police using unnecessary tactics. But pastors of acceptance accept everything, and they preach their gospel, and I don't know what gospel they're preaching, but they're comfortable.
Right.
Yes, they are.
Right. And this is no time to be comfortable. Well, I think we're coming up on our second break. We're going to come back with Dr. C.J. Matthews, Senior Pastor of the Mount Sinai Baptist Church, Executive Director of United Pastors of Mission. Huh?
Mount Sinai Friendship United.
Oh, that's right. And Friendship United. That's right. I forgot. Got to mention Friendship United, Bishop. Absolutely. Thank God for that. We're going to be right back with Pastor Reverend Dr. C.J. Matthews. You can give us a call, 216-578-1490. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Matthews as we discuss the George Floyd trial and having real criminal justice reform in our community. We'll be right back after this break.
Fighting unseen enemies like never before. We're waging war.
I've been a disruptor all my life, and I started this podcast to challenge conventional thinking and stereotypes around the black community and black men. Not all black men are rappers, not all black men are athletes, and most black men are not thugs. If you believe we can change the narrative, if you believe we can change our communities, if you believe we can change the outcomes, then we can change the world. I'm Rob Richardson. Welcome to Disruption Now.
You can find Disruption Now anywhere you listen to podcasts or by going to disruptionnow.com.
The Ricky Smiley Morning Show, the most fun in the morning. It's the Ricky Smiley Morning Show.
But y'all remember back in the day, man, you on the phone with your girlfriend and then, man, you having a, you know, you expressing your love to your girl and your grandmama. Pick up the phone and tell you to come get your drawers out of the sink and bring that roach spray with you.
Yeah. It's the Ricky Smiley Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on News Talk 1490 WERE and streaming live at newstalkcleveland.com.
It's the Ricky Smiley Morning Show.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services for such a time as this.
We're back. The issues, the people in the community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, here with my co-host, Dr. Gwendolyn Jarvis, and our great guest today is Reverend Dr. Pastor C.J. Matthews, pastor of Mount Sinai at Friendship United Church right here in Cleveland, Ohio, 7500 Woodland Avenue. Dr. Young, how are you all having worship service during this pandemic? Tell us. Tell folks how they can hear you preach every Sunday. Tell us about that, Reverend.
We're virtual. We've been virtual. We're still virtual. And I'm just a part of the preaching team here, so I don't have to preach every Sunday, thank God. I've never had to preach every Sunday, thank God, because I've just been a part of the preaching team.
Well, thank God for that, Reverend. And how they catch you on your Mount Sinai Friendship
Mount Sinai
United Church?
What's MTSINAI Ministries.org.
All right. You want to hear this? And what time are you on? On Sundays?
8 o'clock, 9:50, and 11 o'clock. And then on demand, you can get it anytime you want to. You can go on Facebook, our Facebook page, and get it anytime you want to. So the service times are for those who want to tune in during the times, but any of our messages, our YouTube channel and or Facebook, they're always there.
Wow, fantastic. That's fantastic. If you want to hear good ministry, you want to check out Reverend Dr. C.J. Matthews on all of those platforms. Now, Dr. Matthews, help us. What do we need to do to have some real police reform? I know many people are talking about training. Would training, would it help that young girl not being shot 4 times in Columbus? Some folks even go as far as say we need to get rid of the police altogether, defund police. What do you say about this, sir?
I think policing is a fundamental part of the safety of our community. First, let me say that. I did have a chance to talk with the legislatures about this new licensing board they're talking about, which I think is a step in the good direction. But how bad is the problem determines the solution. And so those who would cry for the defunding of police, once that became politicized, it couldn't be a part of the narrative, because once you say it, then you're painted in this corner of hating police, which is the black talking heads that say those kind of things are people historically, and I think white people don't understand, to my Caucasian audience, that because a black person says something that a racist says or that a hateful person says or believes it themselves, it's always been like that. There's always been blacks who have worked outside of the self-interest of the whole of the black community. So it means nothing to us when we hear them say those things. But defunding the police,
right,
I don't think is necessary. But I think reimagining policing must happen. Now, I hear all the time, because I listen to conservative and liberal and all those different radio people and television people, but are quitting in droves. Hallelujah. Quit. Retire.
Right.
Leave. Okay? Because if
right.
The only way you can police our community is no-knock warrants, shooting 10 times a man who you just gave a ride home, killing a young man, listening to his iPod, iPad, whatever he's listening to, because he can't hear you. You shoot him in his doorway because a neighbor called because there was a vehicle in it. Those kinds of repetitive things over and over again are unacceptable. And because we have accepted it for so long, it will continue to exist. So policing has to be reimagined in our community, meaning that when you answer a call in our community, just like today, if you come in my church, you got to put your hand or forehead on this thing to see what your temperature is. Well, before you answer that call, we need to see what your racist temperature is.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that.
Check out your racist temperature. Absolutely, absolutely.
If I see you less than human, if I see you as a perp, my son said in his sermon Sunday, and he was a young man, and I had bought him a Negro League jersey, and he had on the fancy jewel. He was dressed, okay? Police pulled him over to ask him if he was a drug dealer. If I can afford
Lord have mercy.
On and on and on. We don't have enough showtime. That's why we have a podcast, and you and I need to do a podcast together to go along with the show, because we can go on and on and on. Why do we have this much history? I mean, we've had four police shootings in Ohio. No, 5, 6 since December. We've had 2 in Cleveland. Okay? Now, they can come out and kid was whatever he was, but he was still shot. Okay, another kid, we don't know what happened there because, again, when they're in plain clothes, they're treated the same way as if they were in their uniform, and sometimes in plain clothes, they doing stuff in our community so they can get in good with our community, and we don't know who they are.
Right, right, right. I was listening to this one young man. I don't know if I got his name, Isaiah something, Isaiah Wright. I think that's what they said his name was, who was holding his cell phone, and the police officer thought he had a gun. Just recently, like yesterday, I think it was, and they shot him. And he was, and he just got out of the car with the police officer. So that really tells you there's something systemically wrong if I go from taking you home in the patrol car to now, in a few moments, within the next hour, now I'm shooting you dead because I think you have a gun, and you, but it's a cell phone. Why would you even think
Isaiah
that?
Isaiah Brown was the same. He called the police. He stayed on the phone to tell him he didn't have a gun. The mistake he made, he was angry with his brother, and he said, I'm going to kill him. Then the dispatcher said, no, what do you mean? He said, no, I'm not armed, ma'am. I don't have a gun. I'm not going to hurt my brother, but he won't let me in the house. It's just like a line incident. That caused the dispatcher and says, there's somebody out here brandishing a gun. It might be a kid, and it might be fake. Well, that part doesn't get translated to the officer.
Right, right, right. That's right.
So
that's Tamir Rice for those of you who don't remember. Yes.
We view them as, if I'm a Caucasian person and I view these as mistakes, all right, without accountability, these people are dead. So the moment we begin to hold people accountable, then they've got to think twice. Even in the Bryant case, well, looking at the positions, that's all he could do. That is never all you can do.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I know. I had a.
I'm not
going to
throw that officer under the bus, but it's never all you can do. And being a trained sniper, he reacted with his first training and his best muscle. So unfortunately, young Miss Bryant is dead. But that's never all you can do. And people who read that, read it out of acceptance. And as long as we have the acceptance crowd out there, then there needs to be us who will cry loud and spare not.
Right. Amen. 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 Absolutely. Well said, Reverend. Now, before we let you go, can you address some of the violence that's plaguing within our own community? You got a call? We have a caller? Is that what you said? Okay, we may have time. Go ahead. Let's get the caller in. We may have time.
Yes.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the line. Go ahead. You have Pastor Phillips, Dr. Jarvis, and our guest, Pastor C.J. Matthews.
Yes. Can I speak now?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. My name is Thomas Jackson. And I live in Cleveland also. And, you know, I'm 66 years old. And I see a lot of things that these police officers are doing to the people. And it's wrong. It's been going on for too long. And it seems like to me a lot of people are scared to speak up and say what's on their mind and what these police officers are doing.
Okay. Is that your comment?
Thomas Jackson, that's my name, yes.
No, I said, do you have a question in there, brother? Because we got to get ready for a break. You got a question in there?
Yes, I would just like to know what is the mayor doing about this, and what is the congresswoman that's doing about this, Marsha Fudd, all these people that's, you know, these higher-up people, what are they doing?
All
they letting this go on and on, sir. Yeah, I just want to know how come ain't nobody doing it.
All right. We'll let Pastor Matthews can kind of address that. As we know, our congresswoman's seat is vacant at this moment because she is now the Secretary of Housing. But Pastor Matthews, can you address this before you go off?
Thanks, Bud Jackson.
Yeah.
And I'm 67. again, until we understand the violence in our community, I was going to address what you said, violence unrelated to police violence. Violence in our country, violence in our community is at epidemic proportions.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Much larger than an elected official. So we need to.
And it's happening. It's happening all over the country. It's all over the country.
Let him answer the question.
No, I'm saying,
go ahead, Dr.
Brother Jackson. But until you and I Pastor Phillips, Dr. Jarvis, all of those names you can think of, whatever color name you want them to be. When this community, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. When this community determines that this community will begin to address violence for real, I guarantee you we will. There is currently enough criticism and not enough will to get it done, because it will take a dissolution of resources, some shifting of priorities, and some change in the way we do things both at government and the community level, because the money is here. We're just spending it in ways that won't allow us to affect the primary causes of so many people's death.
Okay, that's the problem right there. That needs to be fixed. That needs to be fixed where it needs to stop, right there. Someone needs to say something.
Senselessly, I'm saying different.
Yeah. Well, they need to change that program. They need to change that demographic right there, because it's not working. You need to change it.
All right, we're going
to wish I could. All right. All right,
I don't think you'll get any argument out of us on that one. Thank you.
Okay, dear.
Dr. Matthews, thank you, sir. Thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. Dr. Matthews, we thank you for taking the time now to do these two segments. Well, we're gonna address this issue, y'all. I can tell you, we are on the case. The clergy in Cleveland are on the case. And you're going to be hearing more and more about this as we look to leadership from our dear friend and our dear brother and leader, Reverend Dr. C.J. Matthews. Thank you for joining us again, Doctor. We appreciate you.
All right. Bless you and Dr. Jarvis. Thank you for having me.
And before he hang up, I'd like to say something to him off the air.
Go ahead.
Okay. Are we off the air?
No.
Okay. No, I want to say something off the air.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, come on, producer. We're going to go. We're going to get ready to get out of here, but we're going to come right back for the next 15 minutes right before our hot sauce segment. You're listening to Issues with People in the Community. I'm your host, Pastor Darren Phillips. Got Dr. Jarvis with me, and you just tuned in to Dr. C.J. Matthews, Senior Pastor of Mount Sinai Friendship United Church right here in Cleveland, Ohio. Thank you, Dr. Matthews. We'll be right back after this break.
For your glory, we're taking territory.
1490 WERE Traffic.
Good evening. This traffic update sponsored by InvisibleFence.com. Taking this last look at the roads for your commute. Westbound 90, look out for an accident blocking the left lane at Hilliard Boulevard. In Summit, northbound 77, you'll find another crash at Archwood Ave. Also, eastbound 7677, an accident along the left shoulder after Main Street. Invisible Fence brand is modernizing pet containment with the all-new Boundary Plus smart system. Visit InvisibleFence.com to schedule your free consultation. That's InvisibleFence.com. I'm Lorenzo Ware on Cleveland's News Talk 1490 WERE-AM, the People Station.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
Like never before, we're waging war.
All right.
We're back to Issues of People in the Community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, and I'm so grateful to be joined by Dr. Gwendolyn Jarvis, doing the right prior to our hot sauce.
We'd like to take this time to make our announcements. We have some announcements, and Pastor Barry, if you're still listening, please give us a call. We'll hear you here and give us a report about your thoughts on the march on Saturday. Again, thank you to everyone for joining us. We really greatly appreciate it so much for you all being a part of what's happening here in the city of Cleveland as we raise the standard for making sure we are about our Father's business and getting people vaccinated. Vaccination now, vaccination forever, vaccination, vaccination. And what do we have coming up this week? Well, I can tell you this coming Saturday, Dr. Jarvis, Chantel Brown will be opening up her local campaign office in Shakespeare Square at noon. You want to be there? We're going to be there having a festive time this coming Saturday at noon. Chantel Brown, running for Congress, is opening up her local campaign headquarters office right here in Shaker Heights, Ohio. So that way you can go there and get your yard signs and get your information, literature and information. Go there for phone banking, to volunteer. Endeavor, we have some great things that we can have get done. So we want to make sure that you join us for that. And we are looking forward to that right away. So we thank God for that. All right. So, Dr. Jarvis, what else do we have coming up in our community that you're aware of this coming week?
Well, I understand that the opportunity for COVID shots, vaccines are available. So we need to do what we need to do, get past that 9% of African Americans who have not been vaccinated, and make sure you get, as Dr. Marla said on my show last week, make sure you get both of them. Don't get one and think it's okay. You need to have a complete set. Get both vaccines. Get both.
Right.
Get immunized. Please.
That's right.
Those you love and also yourself.
Amen. Amen to that.
And you know what? Not only that, it don't cost you anything. It don't cost you nothing. And you want to be healthy.
That's right. Doesn't cost a thing. We just need to just do that. We just need to check it out and get that done. You know, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do, Dr. Charles. We got to get vaccinated. There's just no way around it. We got to get vaccinated. And there's the only way for us to to make sure that we are safe and healthy in our community is get vaccinated. So there's a lot of vaccination places to be. We got that coming up in our churches as well as community centers. I know there's one in Southgate that you can go to in Southgate, and one in Wolfstein Center starting tomorrow. You can walk in there to be vaccinated. So we've got a lot of stuff going. Now, we also, Dr. Jarvis, while all this is happening, we have jobs for people. I mean, we have real solid jobs for people, Dr. Jarvis, and we want people to know that and be aware of that and make sure that we are providing us. You can call the Cleveland Clergy Coalition at 216-333-1827, and we will be there. We will actually pick you up for the job. We're taking people tomorrow, even from our church, Sherrill's Church, tomorrow, taking folks out to the suburbs for these job opportunities. So we want to make sure that you can get there, 333-1827. You can just show up at Sherrill's Baptist Church tomorrow. No pre-registration needed. You need a job. You want to work in manufacturing. We're going to take you out there. You can take a look for it and see it. Give us a call, 216-333-1827. Meet us at the church tomorrow about 10:30, and we'll be there. And we're taking a group of folks already going out there to these new jobs. So we want to make sure that you can do that. And so give us a call. Sherrill's Baptist Church, located 113 18 Miles Avenue, 11318 Miles Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio. So we're still getting people hired, Dr. Jarvis. We're still providing the economic justice is what we need. So when we're talking about these things, Dr. Jarvis, we're not speaking about them in a vacuum, but we're speaking about them in a very real, tangible way. And we want to make sure that that we can get that, give folks these economic opportunities, because that will help squash many of the a lot of the violence that is happening in our community right now. That will do it. So we need to get that done, Dr. Jarvis. We need to get that done, and we are looking forward to that. We need to make sure. I would tell you, we need to make sure that we are getting addressing the issues of violence that's happening in our community. Just about a week ago, a very dear friend of our church and our community, Darlene Tony's son, was actually murdered on the 116th Miles Avenue, and it was a mistaken identity, which was really bad. So he was driving a car with someone else who they were looking for, but it wasn't him. They killed him. Then when they found out they killed the wrong person, they murdered the wrong person, they went and found the right person, shot him up. He's now in critical condition in the hospital, and they killed and murdered his girlfriend in the process. She's at the funeral home. That's just happening. So we have all this violence that's going on. People know where the violence is at. We need to make sure that we address this issue of violence, this black-on-black violence that's happening. We have to not only be concerned, Dr. Jarvis, about the violence from the white police officers, men and women, but we also have to be concerned about the violence that's being perpetrated in our community every day by our own people. So we got a lot of fronts that we have to fight on. I talked about this yesterday, Dr. Jarvis. We got to be like Bruce Lee. You got to be able to fight 10 people all at the same time. And that's what we do at the Cleveland Clergy Coalition and Sure House Baptist Church. And that's why we're here every Monday from 5 to 6:30, because we're waging war. We're playing offense instead of defense and coming up with real solutions to real problems. I'm going to give you a report when we come back, Dr. Jarvis, about House Bill 22. We went there last week to the State House, and we already made a difference, y'all, on House Bill 22, because we are about our Father's business. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And we've got the NFL Hall of Fame. Dave Baker is going to be on the line with us and Dr. King, and right after this break. And this is our last break, our last commercial break. And when we come back, we call it Hot Sauce, uninterrupted 28 minutes, that we can share and talk about what's happening in our community, in our city. We thank you for tuning in. Dr. Jarvis, get us out of here for this last break.
It's about time for Hot Sauce, uninterrupted breaks, where we talk about the people, the issues, and the community. And we have so many pandemics going on at one time. This is WERE 1490, the Cleveland Clergy Coalition Program. Executive Director, Pastor.
The proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management. 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WDAK HD3 Cleveland, an Urban One Radio station. 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WDAK HD3 Cleveland, an Urban One Radio station, minority controlled and operated, and serving the African American community for over 40 years.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you, and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
People of the community, I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, Senior Pastor of the Sure House Baptist Church, located at 11318 Miles Avenue, right here in Cleveland, Ohio. And I have with me, as I always do, the Honorable Dr. Gwendolyn Jarvis is my co-host. And we have my dear friend and co-coordinator for the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, Senior Pastor of Christian Fellowship Baptist Church here in Cleveland, Ohio, Reverend Dr. C. Vincent Berry. Dr. Berry, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Thank you. Good evening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Reverend.
Dr. Phillips, good to have you listening, and thank you for Dr. Matthews and Dr. Jarvis. Thank you. Finally, you got baptized, and now you're on the Lord's side by getting your vaccination. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Jarvis, and we're just so happy and pleased about that. I just wanted to thank everyone for all of your support and all the hard work that we've done for our demonstration on this past Saturday, and I think the goal was set and reached as we wanted to have it aware to our community how important it is to churches, that the people of our community, and not only our church members, but the whole community, take this vaccination seriously. We had Channel 19, Channel 5 there, and they aired it, Dr. Phillips, twice on Saturday and twice on Sunday. So we thank God with that message has gotten out. But we want people to know that our job is not over. Our work is not complete. The thing I love about you, Dr. Phillips, is you don't shoot with a shotgun. You use a machine gun. You got a whole lot of bullets. They just keep firing and firing and firing. And so we want you to know that this is not a one-time deal, but this is a different lifestyle change. As I heard Dr. Matthews talking as relates to policing. It's also as relates to our health and our well-being, our economic status, our jobs, and all that we're trying to do. It's something that's a lifetime journey and a lifetime work. There's no one-hit wonder that's going to handle all the things that we are dealing with and all the challenges that we have toward our people. And that's why, Dr. Phillips, I have to commend you for the great work that you're doing, because everything we do as relates to the Cleveland Coalition is about helping people. If you want a job, you can call Cleveland Clergy Coalition. If you have a bad house bill, you can call Cleveland Clergy Coalition. If you need people to get health care, you can call Cleveland Clergy Coalition. If you want people to get saved, you can call Cleveland Clergy Coalition. And I just keep going on and on and on. So that's what we're about. The church is relevant. The church is real. And we're in the trenches. We're in the middle of the fight, trying to better people's lives, prospering and being in health. And first of all, our first concern is that your soul prospers. So I just want to give that update. I tried to call early, and you're so busy, you can't get through. And so I just wanted to call back and let you know what a great job you're doing. And I'm sure your millions of listeners are listening and thankful to what you're doing for the Cleveland area and the whole county. We even got connection, Dr. Phillips, and I thank God for this. When I was a boy, I didn't have a chance to go to the Hall of Fame. I've never been to the Football Hall of Fame, but now our young people who probably would never have a chance to go see the Football Hall of Fame, now we have an opportunity that they can go and be a part of that, our young men, our young women, so they can have a holistic lifestyle and know that there is so many opportunities for us if we would just be about our Father's business. So thank you, Reverend Phillips, and I know I've talked too long, but thank you for that.
No, you never talk too long, Reverend Dr. Berry. Thank you for your work
And that couldn't have happened without you. You did a marvelous job, and we appreciate you. And I'm glad you let Dr. Jarvis know we're finally glad we got her saved, sanctified, and vaccinated. All right. How about that? Yeah. All right. So thank you.
I was wondering, you know, what she was thinking, but I thank God she was feeling the best is yet to come. So thank God for that.
I am following the my medical team, which I'm very pleased with them. And they said in between your treatments, you go get the shot, and they made the arrangements. And it's done. Right. I got one more to do. I'm a team player.
Thank God for you, Dr. Jarvis, because me and Reverend Phillips trained your medical team. So whatever we tell you to do, you know you say to your medical team is following our lead.
And guess what? See, I can't run.
That's right. Perfect. And let me also commend you right quick. I know you got to get to Dr. King.
No.
Let me also commend you. And all that we're trying to do with the jobs and having real jobs for people and trying to encourage people to get vaccinated, you took time out of your hectic schedule, and I wish people knew how busy you really were, to go down to Columbus to fight HB 22. And I just want to thank you on behalf of all the pastors and all of the people in our community for taking time out and making a difference in the things that really will affect us here on the ground that many times we're asleep about, we don't just know about. Thank you for being that person that has insight to the deeper issues that really concern our people. And I just want to lift you up.
Dr. Berry, I really appreciate that. I do appreciate you saying that, and I can use this with a great segue before Dr. King comes on with Dave Baker. I left this, as we took a bus, a van load of people to fight HB 22, which was going to prevent people from using their cell phones to record the police activity. And because we went down there that day, Pastor Berry, they changed that aspect of that bill. They made it so that obstruction of justice, that they were trying to do this added to obstruction of justice, will not include using cell phones. So we can still use our part of this bill. We will still be able to record the police and their behavior on our cell phones. They changed that while we were there. I want to give that update to you. Thank you for giving me that great segue, and I appreciate that. We did that last Thursday. We took a delegation at 8 o'clock in the morning, and thank God for all those who rode with us. And thank you for saying that, Dr. Berry. Appreciate you.
God bless you and continue to do a great work, my brother.
Okay. God bless you. That's my dearest friend, Reverend Dr. C. Vincent Berry, the senior pastor of Christian Fellowship Baptist Church here in the city of Cleveland. Thank God. We have Dr. Leonard T. King, the president of the Baptist Ministers Conference, is on the line, and he has some special guests with us. Dr. King?
How are you doing? We're blessed to have you. As Dr. Berry has said, thank you for being who you are, and thank you for supporting me and faith-based initiative ever since we've came to Cleveland in 2010. I want to thank you personally that you have really been a supporter of us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Want to introduce our guest, if he's on the line, the president and CEO of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, a great man, a great father, a great football player in the form and person of Dave Baker, who has been doing a magnanimous job at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he's our guest today, and want to share some things with your audience, Dr. Phillips, with Dave Baker.
Reverend King, Dr. Phillips, great to be with you both. Thanks for all the good work you're doing and for teaming up with really good people to make a difference.
Well, you know, we one thing about sports, especially the sport of football, it will teach you how to be a team player, not just on the field, but off the field. And that's what we love. That's why we love football so much, because ministry, especially in these days, Brother Baker, is about teamwork. So we know we have some things going. Dr. King, why don't you lead our conversation?
Sure. Thank you, Dave, again for taking time out, and we have some questions we wanted to share or ask you today, and our coordinator wanted to start off with the first question in the form and person of Sharia Davis. She's going to ask the first question.
Awesome. Thank you for being with us, Dave Baker. I just want to jump right into it. I know you don't have much time. So with our first question, with the NFL draft being in Cleveland, what are you most excited about?
You know, Sharice, I'm excited for all those Browns fans that have not had much hope in the past, and all of a sudden they're excited. I think it's going to be fun. But down here in Canton, one of the things we're doing, a year ago we picked the centennial class, which was 20 Hall of Famers for 2020. And that included a lot of guys, including Duke Slater, by the way, who was a great African-American players in the 1920s, right here in Northeast Ohio, who then went on to become only the second African-American judge in Chicago. But then we added to that the class of 2021 after we couldn't have our enshrinement because of the pandemic. So now we've got 28 Hall of Famers to enshrine this year. And that's going to be the first week in August. I think it'll be the greatest gathering in football ever. But on Wednesday night before the draft, we're going to have the enshrinement, Sharice, for all of our posthumous enshrinees. There's 8 in the centennial class, and Bill Nunn, African-American contributor and scout for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they will be enshrined actually Wednesday night for a TV show that will immediately follow the draft on the NFL Network and then be repeated on Tuesday night on ESPN. But it'll be all of our 9 posthumous enshrinees being enshrined, their bronze bust being placed in the Hall of Fame, and we will guard their legacy forever. But it's going to be a fun draft, but I think it'll be a nice way to conclude that with this television show that will help all those guys who are being drafted, those young kids who are dreaming of coming to Canton, of, you know, kind of understanding the shoulders of those that they stand upon. And all of these great posthumous enshrinees are, you know, men who came before them, who changed the game, who made this game, who made this league this incredible brand that it is. But it is it's a memory for all of us that hopefully someday we will answer the door that will be knocked upon by Christ himself and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's a Hall of Fame that's going to last even longer than ours here in Canton, Ohio.
Whew. Mm-hmm. Well, I say yes and amen to that. It sounds like an action-packed event that'll be going on. And speaking of guarding our legacy, we've heard about great things going on regarding the expansion in and around the Football Hall of Fame. Can you tell us a little bit more about the addition of the Black College Football Hall of Fame and how it came to be housed within the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah, absolutely, Sharice, because I think it's pretty special, and I think it's a special story for this time. I don't know if you know James Harris. He was the first African-American quarterback to ever start in the NFL, absolutely. And Doug Williams, the first African-American quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl. But both of them approached me and our executive director, Joe Horgan, at the time, about having Canton be the home for the Black College Football Hall of Fame. And when we met, my first question was, why wouldn't you want to be in Atlanta at the College Football Hall of Fame? And frankly, their response was, you know, pretty logical, which was, hey, you know, we'd like to be, but frankly, it's not a very good story for, you know, the College Football Hall of Fame to tell, because the reason there were historical black colleges is because they didn't want black athletes in white colleges. And what's unique about that is there's been so many wonderful historical black colleges, you know, that have picked up the ball of educating great, you know, African-American leaders, both male and female. But when it came to the NFL, when the NFL was started right here in 1920 in Canton, you know, there were 2 African-Americans in the league that year. 2 years later, there was an African-American head coach, one of our Hall of Famers, Fritz Pollard, that was a coach in the league in 1920. This is 26 years before Jackie Robinson ever put on a uniform for the Brooklyn Dodgers. And really, football is kind of a unique sport where every player needs every teammate on every play just to survive. And I've always felt a little bit that, there's a little bit of a spiritual nature in it because, Christ, his huddle was 12 guys who were his disciples. One failed him, and the other 11 changed the world. And when you get in a huddle on a football field, there's 11 guys. And
that's right.
I think that there are so many wonderful stories because when you got to the NFL, all of a sudden the competition was so strong that color did not matter.
It's right.
And I've had wonderful conversations with Willie Lanier and Bobby Bell and Jim Brown, and these guys really, really changed. They were on the cutting edge, in my view, of really racially understanding, because in that locker room, there was a lot of love. They cared. They were together. They depended upon each other, and it wasn't easy. They had to work through a lot of stuff. But to me, it's always been the truest manifestation of that other Reverend King and his dream. When he said that, I dream of a time when my four children will be judged not by the color of the skin, but by the content of their character. And in our business, character is measured by the yard, so it's pretty easy. And if you're on offense, if you can help me get that yard, you're my brother. If we're on defense and you can help me prevent them from getting that yard, you're my brother. And really, I sometimes think, and I say this with the greatest respect because I know it can be taken out of context, but there were 1.1 million casualties in the Civil War. But sometimes I think what has happened on the field of athletic competition has been just as valuable, maybe more, for Jackie Robinson or Jim Brown or these guys who let their character talk for them. I've got so many Hall of Famers who, they love their brothers, and it doesn't matter whether they're black or white. They are their brothers because they battled together. And so we think that there are some wonderful stories out of these historical black colleges that are doing such good work and sometimes have so few resources. And we're in the storytelling business. We want to tell the story of Fritz Pollard and Jim Brown and Willie Lanier and so many others. And we're going to do that and continue to do that because this is the place, I think, where those stories should be told. So we're excited about having the Black College Football Hall of Fame here in Canton, Ohio. In September, we have the enshrinement for all the NFL that is in, August 5th through the 8th. But then in September 6th through the 5th, as Reverend King knows, we have the Black College Football Hall of Fame Classic. And that's really a four-day festival where we have, festivals and fun fairs for the historical black colleges, for those who want to go school there. We've got a golf tournament. We've got faith and family and football, a gospel concert the night before the game. We've got a super tailgate. And then on Sunday, September 5th, we've got the game itself, which is going to feature Grambling University, the great Grambling University and the Grambling Band. And, of course, Ohio State's own Eddie George, who's now the coach at Tennessee State. And it's a great event. Reverend King was there last year, and it is fun. It is meaningful. It is relevant. And I hope all your listeners would be willing to come because I think that they'd be very impressed and they'd have a great time.
Wow, Mr. Dave Baker, I have to say that is an amazing history lesson and even a life lesson. I appreciate your storytelling. I appreciate you giving us that information. I do have one quick question for you. I know you spoke about the athletes that are within the NFL that has attended HBCUs. Have you talked to any of them or the Hall of Famers or any of the players around the excitement of coming to the Black College Football Hall of Fame Labor Day weekend?
Oh, yeah. We will have a ton of Black College Football Hall of Famers here. You know, that they come, they get excited about it. Donnie Schell, Doug Williams, James Harris, all these guys, they will be here, and they're excited about it. But, you know, they have wonderful stories to tell. They have a great time when they come together. It is like they, reconnect with that locker room. But it's something that can touch each of our lives. I don't know how much time you've got, but can I share with you for just a moment how it touched my life?
Absolutely, Dave. We want to hear that. Absolutely.
Well, and I hope your listeners understand, I once brought home an African-American teammate to my house, and we were, when I was in college, and we were going to get some food on our way to a Laker game. And my dad would not let him in the house. And I hope you don't think my dad was a bad guy, but he was uneducated. He was unsophisticated. And he grew up in a different time and a different place. And he treated this gentleman with respect, but you just didn't go into each other's house. But that was a very, very hard day. It was a very difficult day. And it took me a long time to even begin to understand this. But sports really helped me to understand how important people are to each other and how important it is to come together. I've got a son who was a three-time All-American at USC, and he was a first-round draft choice. Matter of fact, 13 years ago today, he was a first-round draft choice for the Atlanta Falcons. And he played left tackle there for 8 years. Guarding Matt Ryan's blind side. And my son is married to the most beautiful, young, intelligent, strong African-American woman I think you could ever meet. Her name is Antoinette. And I've got two interracial young grandsons that if my dad was alive, he would die for these boys. And what changed between my dad's generation and my son's generation was this concept of being on the field, of being a teammate, of letting your character speak for you rather than the color of your skin. So for me, I think this is, I'm excited because I think Canton is a city that stands for excellence because of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But I think the Black College Football Hall of Fame is just as special, because it is a wonderful story of inclusion. It's a wonderful story of how these guys that come out of the historical Black colleges have such great insight and great understanding that can help us all. And we might not be better football players, but maybe we're going to be better dads or moms or executives or a better community or a better country. I know your prior caller before I got on said he'd never been to the Hall of Fame. And I want all your listeners to come to the Hall of Fame. I want them to experience it. I want them to see the history, behind these guys and the historical Black colleges and the Black College Football Hall of Fame. And I hope you come down. I really hope you'll come down and join us for the Black College Football Hall of Fame Classic, because not only is it going to be meaningful, not only is it going to be special, but it is going to be one heck of a good time.
This boy's back. Thank you, Dave. What a great story. And another question we want to ask you very quickly. Dennis Harris wants to ask you a question, one of our team members of Faith-Based Initiative.
Mr. Baker, yes, my name is Dennis Harris, and I'm just curious, why are you so supportive of the Faith-Based Initiative and his Reverend Dr. Leonard T. King? Why are you so supportive of this man?
Well, again, I will tell you, from my perspective, I am a sinner saved by the grace of God. And Dr. King has been, Reverend King has been a wonderful, wonderful proponent here of bringing people together, of showing them how love can do more than hate. And that's what this game does. And so I have met so many friends through the game of football and through sports and they're lifelong friends. You compete, you get knocked down, you get it back up. When you get into a huddle, you can see who you can trust, you can see who you can rely on. You break that huddle with one heartbeat, you tune out all the adversity or all the noise around you, and you face that adversity on the other side of the line. And by the way, if you get tackled for a loss, you huddle up again. Again, with those 11 people, just like Christ had his 11 people. You know, Christ had 11 guys. He wasn't a CEO like I am. He didn't have a huge microphone or a radio like you'd have there. He never went more than 90 miles from home. What he did have was truth. And what he did have was love that impacted people so much that when he talked to the woman at the well or Zacchaeus in a tree or the rich young ruler, that it had a life-changing impact on them. And I have seen that, and I get attracted to things that make a difference. And I like to think that at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, just through the game of football, our mission here is to honor the heroes of the game, to preserve its history, promote its values, and celebrate excellence everywhere. It is not about the worship of the football hero. And the more as I've known these guys, the more I've learned they didn't fall out of bed great. They had problems. They had injuries. They had challenges. They had difficult people in their life. And they fought to be great. And, again, I think, you know, there is a Hall of Fame. I'm told that our bronze bust here in Canton, Ohio, will last for 40,000 years. That's a long time. But, and you may have seen the videotapes where I knock on the door and tell people, welcome to Canton. Well, you're probably familiar with the verse from Revelation 3:20 that says, behold, I knock at the door. And any man who enters the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. You know, the Hall of Fame right here is hard to get into. We have 330 million young men that have played this game, and now women. Only 5 million played it in college, only 29,000 in the NFL. And today we only have 326 bronze busts in the Hall of Fame. But frankly, God's Hall of Fame is in some respects more difficult to get into. You know, if you drop one pass, the wages of sin is death. If you drop one pass, fumble one ball, miss one tackle, his standards are that high that you can't get in unless you go through Jesus Christ. And if you go through Jesus right. Christ, it's open to everybody. And this is a Hall of Fame that will last not just for 40,000 years, but forever.
Brother Baker, we don't call you Reverend Dr. Bishop Baker, the way you preach it.
Well, listen, Dr. King, we got to go with our music.
We really appreciate you being with us. President King, thank you. Thank you, Dave Baker. We're going to be supporting the Hall of Fame, the Classic Game, and thank you, the NFL Draft, for coming. We know it's going to be supporting some community efforts here in our city. Boy, I wish we had more time because we sure got a whole lot more topic, but we got to go. We appreciate everyone being here today. Cleveland, we love you. Thank you to our guest, Pastor C.J. Matthews. Thank you to Pastor Reverend Dr. C. Vincent Berry and all those who called in and those who called and couldn't get through. We thank God for you. Cleveland, have a fantastic week. Tell somebody, tell everybody, we'll be right back here next Monday, 5 p.m. to 6:30. God bless you, Cleveland, and have a great week.
Like never before.